Christmas is often referred to as the most joyful time of the year. And I agree. I think the shopping, the giving, the receiving, the sights, the sounds, the smells. Christmas is filled with joy. A time of family stress, a time of friends obnoxious, a time of fudge because I needed another F. And Emily Jordan heard that weeks ago and has met my fudge need, but I'm out of fudge now, Emily. A time of joy. You want to know what joy is? This is joy. Oh, folks, for 8 years, 16 semesters in this month, I've written a check to Baylor University for tuition. Truett graduates on this Friday. The first time in 8 years, 16 semesters, I have not written a check to Baylor University. Four of those years, it was two of them at Baylor. That, my friends, is joy, joy, joy. He better pass. The Bible is filled with the language of joy. In the Old Testament, there are 13 Hebrew roots that are about joy. 27 different interpretations of our word joy or rejoice. The Hebrew word for joy literally means to leap and spin around with pleasure. Sounds like dancing to me. I'm not sure. In the New Testament, joy is defined as gladness, bliss, and celebration. Joy pulsates throughout all of Scripture. Someone wrote, joy, a profound, compelling quality of life that transcends the events and the disasters and even the despair which inflict even God's people. Hear that again. A profound, compelling quality of life that transcends all the stuff in life. You're correct. You know it. Joy is not the same as happiness. But often we use the words interchangeably, not just children, but adults, and I do too. Happiness, however, is tied to circumstances. Happiness at best is fleeting and fickle, but not joy. Joy is constant and continuous. Joy, Advent joy is all consuming in the life of a believer. Max Lucado, in one of his books on Christmas, said, joy is the result of recognizing the presence of Christ in our world, in our life, deep in our soul. Joy. I think Luke's gospel gives us a glimmer of joy in those very familiar verses, the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. Let me begin reading in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. So the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, all praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom God's favor rests. Jesus. Jesus, the Savior of the world, born in a stable, in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. Imagine. In my mind's eye, it was like Luke said, it was a stable. Animals and smells and shepherds. Shepherds who had simply been doing their evening work, watching their flock, had now come to Bethlehem to look at this thing that the angel had told them about. If the animals didn't smell that night, I bet the shepherds did. On the social scale, in the first century Israel, shepherds were at the bottom. You know, we tend to romanticize or idealize the life of a shepherd. We read Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." We read in the Gospels of where Jesus referred to himself as the great shepherd, the gentle shepherd. But in first century, shepherds were not romantic at all. And no one, no parent ever said, "Oh, I hope my son grows up to be a shepherd someday." No. But the angel, and then joined by the angel chorus, came and said to shepherds, "Fear not, I bring you good news. I bring you the gospel." The gospel, which is a gospel of great joy. I read it. I bring you the gospel, and it's a gospel of joy. And it's a gospel of joy, not only for you, but for all people. And the angel is joined by the angel chorus. And can you even imagine what that must have been? Not one angel, but a whole chorus of angels all singing, "Glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the highest." Verse 15, "And when the angels had left them and gone back into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" Luke paints this picture wide open, rubbing their eyes, scratching their heads. No one says a word, afraid the angels might show up again. And one, there's always one, one says, "Let's go. Let's go. You stay with the sheep, but let's go. Let's go. Let's go see this thing. Let's go to Bethlehem." And they do. And there they gather in that stable with Mary, Joseph, and the baby. Not any baby. Jesus. The scripture says Jesus, the King. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, Messiah. And there he is wrapped in these cloths in a feeding trough. King James is the best, and that's what we'll read on Christmas Eve. He was wrapped in swaddling cloths. Not a baby that's born of privilege, a baby of status, a baby of stature, a baby in a feeding trough. It was a shepherd baby. Wrapped up in rags. One moment, this lofty angel chorus is singing concerning the birth of the Savior of the universe. And the next moment, shepherds are in this humble surrounding in a barn. That announcement, that joyful announcement, that's the gospel, the good news. And it wasn't just for shepherds, it was for all people. But that included even lowly shepherds. I want you to notice, don't miss that with the announcement of the angels to the shepherds, their social standing, their stuff in life didn't change one bit. Though we've read the story all of these centuries, shepherds were still shepherds. And as we then read Paul's letters and Peter and John, none of them said, and after this day, shepherds were all that. No, shepherds were not suddenly trustworthy, scholarly gentlemen. And again, no one said, oh, my girl, she wants to be a shepherd. No, their wages didn't double or even increase. They were still shepherds. One angel, a multitude of angels at the tree feeding trough, still shepherds, poor, scorned, despised, despicable, lowly shepherds. But their lives were changed forever. Not their outward circumstances. Not their outward circumstances, but their inward perspective. Their joy was within. Their joy transcended all their circumstances, for they had encountered Jesus. And their encounter with Jesus allowed them to rise above their situation, to rise even above their position, and they were filled with joy. Verse 20, the shepherds returned back to their field, glorifying, praising God in joy for all the things they had seen and heard, which was told them that day. The glory and the joy of Christmas is this. The glory and joy of Christmas is this. Not only are shepherds able to rise above their position in life and be filled with joy, but that joy, Advent joy, is possible for every single person. Even you and me today. Now I must pause and say there are legitimate reasons for some of you to declare, Pastor, I know it's joy and I know you had to preach on it, but I'm about as miserable as I've ever been. I'm lonely. I'm afraid. That was there, that was gonna be there that this Christmas, or maybe it's not the first Christmas, it's that spouse, part of you is gone. Others in the congregation, you've lost a parent. And some have lost two. Some have lost, God forbid, a child. Some have lost a brother or a sister. And I venture to say all of us have lost one or two or more friends. This week, Aurelia and I will go to San Antonio to do a funeral for a dear friend who just last month I did the funeral for her daughter, who just 4 months ago I did the funeral for her husband. But it's not only death. Some have lost their job. That job that you thought would just always be there and it's not. Others are dealing with illness, terminal illness. Or maybe it's not your illness, but it's the illness of that family member, and you would do anything to take that illness. And tornadoes in December, it just doesn't seem right. Can we be honest that almost we're overwhelmed with guilt that we should even celebrate Christmas knowing that there's so much hurt and crisis all around us. How dare we celebrate? But then I remember that joy is not happiness. Joy is not tied to circumstances. Joy is the result of a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Richard Foster, the great writer, said, "Joy is perhaps the primary hallmark and distinct mark in the life of a Christ follower, not some silly, superficial, bubbly kind of joy like we see in society. No, a deep, resonant joy that has been shaped and tempered by the fires of suffering and sorrow. Joy through the cross. Joy because of the cross. Joy, it's not situational. Joy does not waver at any crisis that life brings. This joy does not shake at every disaster, but this joy, Advent joy, holds steady in the midst of it all. It holds steady in the midst of it all. The first and second graders showed up to Sunday school, and after they had their opening group, they went to their individual classes, first and second, third and fourth and fifth and sixth. The first and second grader teacher gave them a plain white piece of construction paper, and she said, "Now, boys and girls, this morning, I want you to color joy." It was the third Sunday of Advent. Color joy. She gave them all type of markers, not crayons, but real messy markers. Color joy. Well, they went right to it. You know, kids didn't have to be encouraged. They didn't need more instructions. They went right to it. Many of the girls immediately got the pink marker, and they drew angels, and they drew family, but they drew it with a lot of pink. Others got the marker yellow, and they drew the sunshine, big yellow colors. Now the boys, they thought a little bit longer. One of them, of course, got green and gold and started to ride a Baylor helmet with an interlocking BU because that was pure joy. Other boys seeing that looked then for a maroon, and a few even looked for an orange marker, and they began to do the same. Some drew a rainbow using every color on their page. One drew a unicorn because unicorns, they're filled with joy. But Frankie, who always sat by himself, was no different this Sunday. He was hard at work at his table, and he used the color black. He colored the whole paper black. He colored all the edges. He got black marker on the table. He got black marker all over his hands. And when he rubbed his face, he had black marker on his face. He colored everything. No picture, just colored the whole thing black. Well, some of the girls noticed Frankie, and they began to giggle. To giggle that he didn't do it right. "Teacher, teacher," they said, "Frankie messed up." Well, the boys went over and looked too, and they began to laugh too. And they were all standing looking at Frankie's white paper that was now all black, as well as the table and his hands. The Sunday school teacher wanted to make it right, and so she said, "Frankie, I bet you meant that to be blue, and you couldn't find blue because the sky is blue and that's joy." And Frankie said, "No, ma'am, I wanted it to be black." And the teacher, by this time, not knowing how she would get out of this, and Frankie said, "Joy is black because when I go to the doctor and he looks down my throat, he gets a light because he says it's so dark, and joy is in here. Remember, teacher, that song we sang, 'I've got this joy, joy, joy down in my heart.'" Joy down in our heart. Maybe it is black. Sunday, December the 12th, 2021. Behold, I bring you the gospel, and it's a gospel of great joy for all people. That joy is down deep, kind of where it's dark. Don't be afraid. The angel said, don't be afraid. Keep pressing on. Hold on tight, because there is a Savior who was born in a lowly manger. He is Christ the Lord. Do you know Him? Have you found Him like the shepherds found Him? Have you been to sit and worship with Him? I hope you've experienced, if you haven't, you can, the hope that comes through Christ. In the midst of whatever you're dealing with, that there can really be peace. Peace. Hope and peace. They come from Christ. From Christ who gives us that joy. Christ in us. This joy that I have, the old gospel hymn says, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Thanks be to God. Shall we pray? And so, God, on this day when many are singing joy to the world and we're tapping our foot and listening to Sleigh Ride and thinking of joy, we know there's still a lot of hurt, a lot of crisis, a lot of pain. And yet joy is still there. For as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that joy is deep, deep within. At times we have to dig deep. At times we have to remind ourselves that joy is not happiness, that joy is not situational, that joy is there every day because Christ lives within. With His birth, with His advent came joy. May we live in that joy. May we proclaim that joy. And even in the midst of life and sadness and hurt, there is joy. Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee. That's our song. That's our song. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.